appreciate you being here tonight. The cold, the flu has taken its toll on our numbers, but we only have maybe a few more weeks left of the flu-cold season. Maybe this will all pass, but we'll get through it. And I appreciate so much you being here tonight. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. I want to read a few verses from the letter unto the church in Philadelphia. You know, we as a church of God's people have the responsibility to do the Lord's work. And we have emphasized this in our studies and times past as we've talked about the importance of evangelism and doing the work that God has called upon us to do. But we need to also realize we have an enemy that is working against us as we strive to do this work. And the Lord here, in writing to the church in Philadelphia, urges them to be strong and not let the devil get the best of them. Look at just verses 11 through 13 of Revelation chapter 3 to the church in Philadelphia. He says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says that our devil, or our adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so we do have an enemy that's out to devour us. He does not want us to accomplish our work as a church. He wants us to be defeated in our efforts. And we have to fight strongly with God's help and faith, with faith in Him, to be successful in the work that God has called upon us to do. Well, I want to just talk about, just for a few moments this evening, some challenges that a congregation must meet. There are four things that I want to talk about tonight as we strive to do the work that God has called upon us to do in the face of this opposition. And the first thing is we need to remember what our work is. And what our work is, of course, it is to plant and water. That is the Word of God, to preach it. And then after the seed has been planted and a Christian comes as a result and a person has been born again, we're to water and help them to grow to be what God wants them to be. Remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase." It's our work to plant water. It's our work to preach the Word. It's our work to make sure that we're teaching and encouraging and helping people to do God's will, and then God will give the increase. You know, it takes discipline to stick to our work and let the Lord do His. Now, when the work, or at least we do not think we're accomplishing much, then we then slack off. And the Lord, we think, we don't realize the Lord has a job within this. And it's only our responsibility to preach, to teach, and to get the Word of God out there. Look with me, and I'm not going to look at both of these passages here. Basically, in both to Jeremiah and Ezekiel, what the Lord is saying is, you preach the Word. You're not going to get the response that you would like. Matter of fact, the people are going to be rebellious. They're not going to listen to you, but you preach. But I want you to notice what he says to Ezekiel here in Ezekiel chapter 3, or rather chapter 2, beginning with verse 3. Ezekiel chapter 2 and beginning with verse 3. He says, "And he said to me," this is God speaking to Ezekiel, "Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel," notice, "to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. For they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, as of them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. And verse 8, but you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. In other words, he's saying, you just do your work of preaching the word to the people. And then let the people respond in whatever decision they make. But the Lord wanted him to preach. And that's what the Lord is saying to us. Just preach the word. Get out there. Now, we may not get the response we would like. But you can be assured if we're doing our job of getting the word out there, God is doing His work through the word, in the word that it is being preached. God will give the increase. You know, ultimately, the Lord will want to know not as much how many people you baptize. But I think what He's going to know is how many people were left in our community that were never confronted with the gospel. That's probably what He's going to be more concerned about. How many did you not tell about Jesus? How many did you not preach the gospel to? You know, we're constantly tempted to bypass the work of seed sowing or to believe that we are doing enough. That, you know, we've done a lot, nothing's happened, so we just kind of slack off. And what the Lord is saying to us, don't ever give up. Always be doing what you can to get the Word of God out to them. And I know what it is I'm preaching to myself here, because I can see myself slacking off and not doing what needs to be done, and I have to be constantly encouraged to continue to do the work of carrying the gospel to the lost. That's one of the purposes for the lesson this evening. You know, we as Christians need to be like the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. He says, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. And so from us, the word of the Lord needs to be sounding forth constantly. Sounding forth. We need to be doing what we can to carry the gospel. So remember what our work is. That's a challenge. It's not something that just happens. It's not something that comes easily. It's something we have to work at to make sure we remember where our work is and that we're constantly engaged in it. But then secondly, we need to live above pettiness. One thing that can keep a church from doing its work is they get involved into petty issues. And what I'm talking about here is selfishness, gossip, factionalism, that will bring death to the Lord's work. And the Lord warns us of this, to stay away from this. Look with me in James chapter 3. Here James is talking about the wisdom that is from above. You know, there were those in James' day that believed that they were wise. No doubt they were knowledgeable. Were knowledgeable of various things, of God's will. But they were puffed up as a result of their knowledge. James described what true wisdom is. Notice beginning with verse 13 of James chapter 3. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And so envy, self-seeking, These are things that are, he calls earthly, sensual, demonic. It's not from above, the wisdom that is from above, but is that which is from beneath. What causes that? Why is it that people become jealous and envious and self-seeking? Well, it's because they're focusing in on themselves. They're focusing in on what they desire, what they want. It's a carnal thing. It's what we desire. With that in mind, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And that's what Paul talks about here. And that was the reason there was division within the church, or one reason there was division in the church in Corinth, is because of this selfish, self-seeking, carnal way of thinking. He says, "And I, brethren, cannot speak to you as to carnal people, but as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able. For you're still carnal." Why does he say they're still carnal? Well, a reason he gives, he goes on to say in this verse, "For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behave like mere men?" When there is envy, jealousy, strife, divisions, you can be assured we got some carnal people. People are thinking more of what they want, what they desire, than what the Lord desires and what the Lord's work is. And what I mean, it might be expressed something like this. "Well, you know, Sister so-and-so didn't speak to me today." Or, "No one invites me over." They invite other people over, but they don't ever invite me over. Or, "So-and-so never speaks to me." And so what happens is I'm focusing in more on how I'm being treated, on how that makes me feel, and that gets my emotions riled up against that person, and it causes division and some strife. And I suggest what this is pettiness. It's issues that should have nothing to do with the work of any local church. Now, it may be someone doesn't speak to me. Maybe they invite other people over more than me. But what I need to do is realize that those are petty issues. Those are things that are not that important. What's most important here is getting the Lord's work to be done. And it may be that person needs to be inviting me. But what I need to be doing is to loving them, serving, encouraging, making sure that God's work is being done so that people will grow in the Lord and be more of what they ought to be. And there maybe will then be more of those who will invite, and they will be involved in the lives of others as they ought, as God wants them to be. But I am not going to withdraw from the work. I'm not going to get my feelings hurt all because of how someone acts toward me. That's pettiness. It takes discipline to keep away from such pettiness. You know, we need a sense of proportion and priorities. It is disastrous to major in minors. And when we major in those minors, that's when we have such division and strife. We must be able to see the largeness and importance of the work that we're doing in comparison to our own personal concerns. And not allow the personal concerns to affect what is most important and what is major. That is the glory of God and promoting His work. I love what Paul says here in Philippians chapter 1. Now, listen to what Paul is saying. Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. Paul is in prison because of the preaching of the gospel. And the brethren there in Philippi, no doubt, were concerned that Paul was not able to do of the work of the Lord because he's in prison. He could do a lot more if he could be out there preaching the gospel to others. But Paul here looks on the bright side of things. Notice what he says beginning of verse 12. "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. He mentions two results of him being imprisoned here, being in chains, and that is that he's able to preach the gospel to the whole Praetorian Guard, palace guard. They know that it's because of his faith in Christ and of his preaching of the gospel is the reason that he's in chains, and he's had the opportunity to share that to the people there, to those of the Praetorian Guard, palace guard. And not only that, his brethren have become more confident, more bold to speak the word without fear. They see Paul, how he is bold in speaking, and that has encouraged these others to be more bold in speaking. And he is rejoicing about that. Why? What's primary is the preaching of the gospel. That's what he mainly and primarily wants. Now notice what he goes on to say now. Verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. Some were preaching the gospel because of their feelings toward Paul, their feelings against Paul. They didn't like him, from envy and strife, wanting to add more to his affliction. Notice what Paul said. Verse 16, the former preached Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Verse 18, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Now that's the attitude we need to have. That's the attitude that I need to have, no matter what may be happening within the church. I need to make sure that God's work is going forth, and that whatever I do and however I respond to situations, it's going to be to the glory of God. It's going to be to the promoting of His cause in this community, and not allow pettiness to draw the work down, cause us to major in minor. Let's look at a third challenge, and that is believe that we can make a difference in our community. You know, sometimes we feel like, well, we've worked and we're not accomplishing anything, and so we slack off. We don't continue to do the Lord's work. And what we need is some hope. And you know, when we talk about hope, what do we talk about? We're talking about desire plus expectation. And that's true of our hope of eternal life, our hope of heaven. Is we desire it and we expect it because the Lord promised it. So we're looking forward to that day. Well, we're using the word hope as it relates to our work of carrying the gospel to this community and saving souls. We have the desire to do that, to carry the gospel to this community, and we need to have some expectation. We need to expect that, yes, good is going to come out of this. Because if we don't have that, then we're probably not going to continue to do the work. It takes discipline to believe that we can bring about a significant change for good where we live. That the gospel will accomplish its work. All we need to do is get it out there. Make sure, and we're constantly doing the work, knowing that it will accomplish the Lord's work. Look with me in Revelation chapter 3 again. Go back to Revelation 3 to the letter unto the church in Philadelphia. Look there in verse 8. The Lord says to them, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. You know, when Christ sets before us an open door, no one can shut it unless it's us. Now, what I mean by that is that the door is open, we just won't go through it. We're not looking for it. We're not taking advantage of these opportunities. And this door that the Lord opens, I believe, is opportunities for good, opportunities to do His work. And in that, the Lord opens those doors. Matter of fact, I think it's in Colossians chapter 4 where Paul even asked the brethren there to pray that God will open the door to speak the word of God. Speak His word. And so that's what we need to be doing, is we need to be praying about that. Let me make sure that what I said about Colossians 4 is accurate. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. beginning with verse 2 of Colossians chapter 4, Paul says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." So they were to pray that God would open to them a door to speak the Word, and that He would speak the Word as He ought to speak, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And we need to be praying about that every day. God, open doors to us. Open doors and help us to present Thy Word, manifest it in a way that is being good. And when the Lord does open those doors, none can shut that. The problem is we don't see it. We're not going through it. We simply must keep in mind that the Lord is going to be with us if we are doing the work. Keep in mind that He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. John says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." So we need to realize that God will be with us in the work that we do. Our challenge is believing it, and believing that what we do will make a difference if we are actively involved in carrying the gospel to this community. But then, fourthly, the challenge is to maintain gratitude for its blessings. You know, when we do the Lord's work, there will be blessings associated with it. And we need to be aware of that and be grateful for what God is doing. You know, the church in Corinth, when you think of the church in Corinth, what do you think of? Well, you think of a church that had a lot of problems. And they did. Read 1 Corinthians, and there were a lot of problems that Paul dealt with in that epistle to the church. I want you to notice what he says in the very beginning of this letter, 1 Corinthians. Look in chapter 1. Beginning with verse 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 4. Paul says, "I thank my God always concerning you." This is for the church in Corinth. "I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you came short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." And that's true of any congregation that is growing in the Lord. I understand there are the Lord talks about in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 of those churches that if they didn't repent, their candlestick would be removed from its place. That was truly not the case with the church in Corinth at this time. And there is things about every church that we can be thankful for what the work that God has done within that church, their conversion to the Lord, work that He has done in them. And what we find, even with reference to the church in Corinth, when Paul wrote the second letter, the second epistle, that the epistle that he had written to them had accomplished its purpose. They had repented. They had changed. And Paul could rejoice in that when he heard from Titus how that they had responded to his teaching, how that they had repented. The point is, the church, every church, has its problems. And we all have to deal with things as we grow in the Lord. And as we then do grow and we do the work of the Lord and we're planning and watering for the growth of that congregation, let's always be looking for the things for which we're thankful, for those changes, that growth that you see within the members, for the salvation that the Lord is providing for all of us. that are in Him. Constantly are thanking God for the work that He has done within each congregation. And it takes discipline to emphasize the positive rather than the negative aspects of our congregational situation. Scriptural congregation is a thankful congregation. Colossians 3 and verse 17 says that whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. And so we must always be giving thanks to God the Father for what He has done. Well, these are four challenges for us. You know, to remember what our work is, to live above pettiness, don't major in the minors, to emphasize, continue the work of the Lord that He's called upon us. And when we do that, then these petty things will be petty. They're not going to be that important to us. And we then can make a difference in our community, believing that God is working through us, and maintain gratitude for the blessings that He has provided. We must not let the devil rob us of our salvation. As we read earlier in Revelation chapter 3 and in verse 11, unto the church in Philadelphia, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. We need to do what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, that we may be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And so as we do that, and we're constantly taking advantage of the power that God has provided by putting on His armor, standing firm, doing His work, never giving up, even during times of persecution and trials, let me tell you, there will be rejoicing in the midst of all of that. We can rejoice and we can be thankful for what God is doing, and having the hope, of course, of all of us living with Him for all eternity. Well, these are some things that will help us to maybe get through this trying time of sicknesses, but also to deal with other trying times, and not just the sicknesses that we have, but the persecutions and the difficulties that life brings our way as the devil is working. Hope it will encourage us to remain faithful, never give up in the work that God has called upon us to do. There may be some here this evening who are not what you ought to be. It may be that you're not living as you ought to live. We extend the Lord's invitation at this time. Not that this is the only time the Lord's invitation is extended. It's not. The Lord's invitation is extended at all times. You can come to the Lord and render obedience to Him and find forgiveness of your sins any time of day or night. This is the present, and if you need to respond to the invitation by coming, right now, we encourage you to do that. If you're not a Christian, come to Jesus tonight. Believe in Him. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith and be baptized in His name for the remission of sins. If you've become a Christian but you've fallen away, repent. Confess your sins and go to God in prayer and ask Him to forgive you. If you want the prayers of the brethren, come forward. Come to Jesus. He will save you. If you need to do that, please come as we stand and sing.